Significance, and she said, you know, the left side is the feminine, the, you know, nurturing, the
receiving, the future.
Future. See, I didn't know that one. And I said, well, you know, I feel like I'm pretty grounded in the feminine, nurturing, all that. You know, and so I don't understand why that would be where the pain all is. And she said, well, maybe it's tired. And that just felt like it hit me really between the eyes, like there's something to that. And I noticed in working with her that her whole approach seems to be strengthen the areas around the pain so that it supports that, which is maybe overworked or whatever. So I was sort of looking at that on a non-physical level. But how then to strengthen the right side, which I guess I would be masculine and giving and whatever's the opposite of all that other stuff. But that's about as far as I've gotten. And I don't really know, I don't know much more about that, but that's just what I've been sort of wondering.
So if I were going to project, I would have projected it's letting go. That's what's going on the left side.
That's the pain?
Mm-hmm.
Huh, would you say more? Like letting go?
No.
Well, like that, so the letting go is the source of the pain?
Yeah, those often go together.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That there's holding on.
It goes
along with the letting go, so
yeah.
That struggle is in the
I see.
More than needing to strengthen something else that would be the opposite of that.
Uh huh. To practice really seeing what's being held on, and
yeah, well, and there are just so many possibilities. Because pain can also be a protection, right? Kind of pushing something away, protecting, you know, holding. So, you know, I think just a lot of possibilities with that. Rather than, my hesitation is always to get an idea that it's something or other, and then now I've got to do something about that something or other, and what if that's not it? Mm-hmm. In fact, what if it's exactly the opposite of what I think it is? And then, oh dear,
yeah,
I'm compounding my problems.
Yeah. And ego would love to sort of get a project going. Oh, well, this. And so maybe we can, which, you know.
Did you?
Yes, exactly. Which kind of cloud the whole really attending to this, because now we get to focus on this. And,
yeah, and of course, I'm always a big supporter of keeping attention on what seems to need the attention. Not in any way other than being open to the information that's there. Because, again, with pain, we're conditioned to try to get away from it. So there's something wrong, I need to get away from it. But when we go into it, sometimes things are revealed that haven't been available to us because we've been trying to distance ourselves.
Yeah, I can see that process even in the, even in the approach of, well, let's strengthen all the muscles around us, and this one will get some relief and quit crying out, you know.
And it certainly can be the case that, so for instance, if you never use your glutes, then the odds are really good that,
using its glutes.
Using its little glutes.
Its little quads.
Thanks, Scott. Then it's true that other muscles are going to compensate for that. And it's true that they can then get overused, overworked. They can get tired, and then they turn more of the work over to somebody else, and then that gets lots of possibilities for me.
Yeah, because even all of that doesn't at all negate the process of going into the pain.
Exactly. And it may occur to you that there is an element of something like the strengthen, you know, so what muscles are you using instead? So my favorite one was, I probably was many, many times, but I had pain on the, I think it was the right side, I can't remember what it was, and I went to my favorite chiropractor, and we went through all the symptoms, and he said, so which side do you chew on? Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And he was right. That was it. So very often something like that is very difficult for us to catch on to because it's such a habit. It's so how we always do it.
Yes. I'm just experiencing a lot of resistance to remembering the exercises and the, because one of the assignments that she gave me was just pay attention when you're walking. That is amazingly difficult. She just I was telling her, just when you're on the property, I notice my eye comes in more. It's the only one you need to say more on office, because I'm like, it really supports. But just the fact that I'm going so unconscious, although I gotta say, it's like just barely chipping away at that unconscious, so it's helping. It really is.
Well, for me, I don't know what I managed to do to my right leg, but something. And I don't know about your level of pain, but there is no forgetting this. Mm-hmm. There's no forgetting the exercises. There's no. Mm-hmm. There's just no. We're not going to do that. So that's another element of it. You know, does it need to get so bad that you can't sleep through it?
Yeah, that's funny you just say that, because that passed through day before yesterday. I was remembering, and that very thing is like, what is it going to take? And I'm like, okay, I don't want what it's going to take. I want to do this.
Yeah. So that's a very helpful message, isn't it? Because the system is not invested in that.
Yeah.
We really have to show up and do something different.
Yeah. And it's been in the hip, and then lately just in the shoulder. And with the pain in the shoulder, which is a little greater than the hip at this point, I am remembering that more. And so, yeah, I can really see that and appreciate the reminder very much that it doesn't have to get that bad. Will, and it could, and it might help, but it doesn't. We don't have to go that way.
That was helpful. What I was saying in that process was like, wait, I have two things, and they're both on the left side of my body, and I hadn't even put that together. But just that process.
Well, and just another piece of that, very cool, right-handed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, that's another element. We can almost count on so many things. The dominant side of the body, and then this is just naturally weaker.
Yeah.
It just is. It's ignored. We don't use it. So.
Which I think is what happened when I had like a forearm inside elbow. I can't like quite locate it. That was like, this guy could do what I was doing, but this guy, well, not so much. But I have this weird thing that like my left buttocks hurts when I sit and when I sit in chairs, and I can't get the source of it. It seems like it feels a little bit better when I get some blood flow, like if I do some exercises or if I stretch. But
so do you folks know how to stretch hamstrings? It's really difficult. Okay, so just get ready. Up on your sit bones, and
join this at home too. You can do this at home too.
You can do this. Yeah, try this at home. Now, I don't know about those of you who are sitting up on something. You might want to get flat, but flex your toes back, and then press. And you're way up on your sit bones, right? You're as far up on your sit bone. If I do it like this, I can feel it more. Now press your knees into the floor as hard as you can.
That is a stretch, oh, right?
Wow. That's a good one. Yeah, and you can do it, several times a day. At first I couldn't actually get my knees to really press into the floor, but the more I practiced it, and of course it's great on the abs.
How long do you hold it? How long do you hold it?
The person who taught it to me said, and when your feet start going like that, I've never held it long enough for my feet to go like that. Yeah, that your muscle is now, you've gone over the top. So I just, hold it for a little bit and then let it go and do it again. And
what's your stomach doing? You said great for the abs.
Oh, God.
You're holding.
Feel it in your abs.
You're holding.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Up. You're not collapsing.
Right,
to that
right.
Stomach.
Yeah.
Are you using your quad support to push your knees?
Yes. The quads are really engaged. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, when I really get into it, I can actually get my heels off the floor.
Wow.
When they're really down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good on the feet, too.
Mm-hmm. This, apparently, is the thing that, I can never say it, but plantar fasciitis. Yeah, this is the cure for it.
They're cute.
Oh, yeah, and it's
also good,
too.
You mean the exercise.
Because so many people sleep with their feet like this, and they tend to get it. And if you learn to sleep with your feet back,
that's good.
Then you tend not to get it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want one.
Another thing, all these things that go on. Well, so what I was saying in that first conversation was, so we present something. And I mean, this is what happens to me a lot with these kind of interactions is I don't quite realize it, but there's a way I think it's going. And then the response back is always a way that I didn't see coming.
Uh-huh.
And so it seems like the process is one of expanding the awareness. Because at least for me, the habit is, okay, it's this. I don't really know, but I think it's this. But the I think it's this is already, I'm already in a room with walls, and it may seem like I'm looking at something, but again, the response.
What you're allowed to look at,
what
is really
look at.
Defined.
It's really not defined.
Like you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it might seem like, again, sometimes it seems like, you just don't know the walls are there until you know the walls are there, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
So you're having something to
Well, you know, for me, I'm always really suspicious when I think I know.
Right. Well, and I think sometimes I don't see that I'm doing that.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm like, well, I'm just looking, and I don't really know. But behind here is, but I kind of do.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that,
Yeah, that would be a good one to keep an eye on. Because I actually don't.
And just on those hamstrings again really quickly, I also noticed that felt kind. Because I do this handstand steps where I stand up and my legs are out like this, and I grab on the outside of my feet and I pull down. And a lot of times, not too far into it, like this rush of energy will come out and an expletive. And one of the things my yoga teacher pointed out when I was talking to her about that was, well, that's kind of a sharp place to go into with the hamstrings. Maybe they're kind of saying, that's a little too much to start into.
Yeah.
And that is a habit of mine to push. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just talking about the body. It's like, so there's this thing with my arm. Yeah, but I'll probably get better. I can still kind of go do what I normally do, right? It's like, well, you probably could, but it's not going to get better, and that's not a kind way to live.
Yeah. Well, and what again, what so often I think is missed is, well, yeah, I can, but I really want to pay attention.
Yeah, I want to be here. I want to be in kindness.
Because those are usually the two choices, right? I just go unconscious and do whatever I do, or I don't do anything. And then hope it gets better, and it's just magically going to heal itself. And of course, you know, some things do. If you don't do anything, then it just kind of all goes back. But then a lot of things don't. And so what am I doing that's causing that situation? Because if I'm not doing something that's hurting the body's going to be fine. So I'm doing something.
Yeah, that is, when you said that, I've seen that earlier, that is kind of the direction. It's like, just push through it, or, okay, I'm going to rest it. But rest it means not, it doesn't necessarily mean pay attention. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, we're going to make a deal here. I won't do those things for a couple days, and you'll be better so I can go back to doing what I want, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so clear, the split between ego and body. Mm-hmm. Right? Body is just... It's just a vehicle. It's a tool. It's something ego can use to do what it wants to do.
Yeah.
There's no.
Yeah.
Because for the ego, it's really true. It is separate. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have anything to do with the body. It doesn't care about the body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can feel that. Just kind of disregard.
Oh yeah.
It's like, as long as I just do what I want to do.
Man up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good to slow down and see those things. And the other thing that was coming up around the left side and the maybe something's being let go was interesting, because it does feel like something's being let go. I had this experience of maybe 2 weeks ago. I had talked to my mom, which is the first time after kind of all this stuff went on with my family, and I got off the phone with her, and I could feel that pull to like review the conversation. I'm not doing that. Went to go do some exercises. I was listening to this recording about twos, Enya type twos, and there was something about this that type twos tend to have an inflated sense of something of what they are. And I don't know, something in the exercise and listening to that, and the funny thing with my mom at the end of the conversation, because the karma is, okay, well, I'll just keep the relationship like this and everything will be okay. The end of the conversation was about when I was coming home and how long. And she's like, wow, that's kind of a long time to be coming home. And she's like, I mean, you know, we just kind of all do our own thing. I'm like, Mom, what are you trying to say? Well, you're okay taking care of yourself. I'm like, well, Mom, I do that every time I come home. This is the same amount of time I come home every time. And then she says, well, I get uncomfortable being around anyone for too long. And it revealed this thing about...
She said she couldn't...
She said, I get uncomfortable being around anyone for too long.
Wow.
And what...
Thanks for telling me now. could you have mentioned this when I was like 9 or 10?
Or 2 or 3. I mean, I don't know if I understood it then, but... Yeah.
No, but it would have been good if it had been part of the ongoing dialogue.
Right, instead of internalizing that.
Exactly. You know, I don't do well being around people for too long. And I've been around you for too long. And so...
Yeah.
Right? Because otherwise, the messages are not clear. Mm-hmm. You know something's wrong. Right? And so, what's it going to be about?
Well, when you're a kid, well, and now even, it's like, you just go to, it's me.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, so damaging. And then, I've been watching that go on as an adult, still in that kind of kid mode. Mm-hmm. And so I think it got revealed how much I was invested in going home for a certain amount of time, and then you know, how that's always happening. I'm always in that kind of conversation about how to keep the relationship okay. Mm-hmm. And so for her to basically just say, oh, I mean, it was funny because the whole first part of the conversation was being upset about how she can't contact me here and that it feels like she's losing me and all the stuff. And the other conversation was,
I need my 3 days, okay? I need to knock it out my 3 days.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, but anyway, I guess what happened was all of that just seemed like such a bunch of crapola. And if the experience was, I don't know why this is the image, I'm flying in a plane, or I am the plane. It's not like a super great plane, but it works. And then all of a sudden, a big piece of paneling, the plane just flew off. And you're supposed to go like, oh my gosh, you know, you can't live up here without that. The air's going to come in. But the experience was, whoa. Just like the air coming in was completely fresh air. Mm-hmm. And it was like I was completely disoriented but completely here at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it was like, wow, you know, did identity just completely fall off there and fall back 27,000 feet? Or what was that, you know?
Well, and so it's so good, isn't it? Because what we get to see is projection in action, uh-huh. Right? Because your mother's not saying she doesn't love you.
No.
She's not saying she doesn't want to see you.
No.
She's not saying she doesn't worry about you drifting apart. She's just saying, I have this finite ability to be around anybody, even you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but for you know, you're trying to, so you just been through this trauma with her in that place.
Yeah.
Now, in your orientation, you need to get back there
and
reassure everybody and make sure they all know that you're still part of the family and that you, just completely different orientations.
Yeah.
Both coming from caring, from love, but not at all in sync.
I know. That's just that place, like, can we both get on the same side and look at what's going on here? Because, boy, it doesn't have to be this way.
Mm-hmm.
We could really team up and just take this down.
Right.
You know, but just that place of, like,
well, and now you can.
Yeah.
Because whatever miracle caused the woman to say that?
The part about, I don't,
Yeah. And it probably just kind of slipped out. Well, that's a long time to be. That might not have sounded the way it
could. Yeah, I don't know if she had that kind of awareness. But, I mean, we did have a pretty good conversation before that.
Well, Scott, she's never said this in all of your life.
Yeah,
she's never acknowledged this.
That's true. I mean, it's true. I mean, she will say, I mean, I have heard her say kind of angles of that, but not so directly.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew that about her. Everybody knows that. Like, but to her to say, you're right, for her to say it that way didn't allow any of that underground stuff around, no, it's me, and if I could just...
Right, and so now, there's a possibility of saying, you know, that was just fascinating when you said that.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. Gosh, thank you, because now I realize what happened was, he goes, like, oh, yeah, but you already knew that about her.
Yeah, but you didn't.
And that wasn't my experience afterwards.
Right.
I didn't really see how those two things were directly connected. So, but back to the body thing. So when we were just talking about letting go, I mean, I was saying all this stuff on the record of the mentor, and the mentor's like, I don't know, but maybe there's just some grieving or some letting go or some loss going on. Mm-hmm. Like, meaning, maybe you don't have to make whatever's going on for you a problem.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And there's clearly been annoyance.
One panel fell.
And that was supposed to be like, no, can't do that. And we just had an experience of, we're totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
Which is such a lovely thing about awareness practice. That's what we're doing. Where we believe, no, we got to keep it together. And then some miracle, you get something let go. And then whatever it was threatening didn't happen at all.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which is just such a reminder, too, to just continually drop these conversations around imaginary because we have no idea.
Well, I remember Rebecca did a thing on that years ago Now, in my world, it's a tapestry, but I don't know what it was in yours. But this, and then Anne this morning on the radio show. I mean, that was just so, you know, and then that happened, and then that happened, and then that, and that, over there, and that, and we, that, and that, and then, whoop, all came together. Mm-hmm. And she could have been talking about it for, you know, 30 years or more. But why?
Yeah.
You know, in the sense that she was having the experiences, there was no sense in, kind of full circle of what we started out with, in having a conversation about what this means, or why this is happening, or, I mean, we do, because I think it just, you know, fills the space that would be there if we just face the fact that we don't have any idea about any of this.
Mm-hmm.
So to drop the conversation and just know, okay, it's all coming together. I don't know how, I don't know when or where, but I know it's all coming together, and one day this will all make perfect sense to me.
Mm-hmm. And that is really reassuring to go to that place that we're so well taken care of. Mm-hmm. You know, this is an unfolding.
Right, and that's happened how many times in your life?
Yeah.
Over and over and over and over again. And it's our constant experience.
It's our constant experience. Yeah, so why do we keep leaving that for something that's not our constant experience? Mm-hmm. That's really amazing. Thanks.
Oh, let's just do a sweep. Anyway.
Well, as long as we're talking about body parts. I've had this interesting experience of a very sore toe and ball of my foot on my left side, and I'm right-handed. I thought it was, I have some calluses on that foot, I thought it was that, and then I thought it was probably arthritis. And so I finally went to a foot doctor, and he said, no, it's not arthritis. And it's a, I forget the name he gave, it begins with a C. But basically, what was happening was that foot was rolling out slightly, and so rather than the weight being distributed across the ball of the foot, it was hitting that second toe and sort of not hitting the first toe.
You two are twins in the toe department.
Okay. And I have a major bunion there, and so that's probably part of it too. But so he said, I can take your foot. And then we'll give you a mold and we'll do our orthotics. So he did a little mold and then he taped the foot and the pain was gone. Gone. It was a miracle. And the tape was on for about a little over a week. And then he said, now you really need to take it off, so I took it off. So the pain was pretty much back, somewhat back. So I got the orthotics. But meanwhile, I went to yoga, and my yoga instructor said, well, he's very old school. And she said, you need to strengthen the foot, not rely on orthotics, because orthotics will eventually weaken
your foot. Cripple you. They'll cripple you.
And they'll weaken your foot.
Mm-hmm.
And partly I'm going for some comfort because we have a 3-week walk in England coming up in June, and I just want to be comfortable.
Yeah. I will learn to tape my own foot.
Just to get through that walk and have a good time, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, so I've been trying the orthotics and mostly not trying the orthotics, and that's interesting. But anyway, what I was looking at was, first of all, that I knew it was arthritis and it wasn't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, when you said that, I was just thrilled, because almost every doctor goes, oh, yeah, that's arthritis.
No, right away, he said that. Yeah. He said so, your joints are perfectly clear, which is really good.
Yep.
But what I was realizing, so I went to my yoga, she told me that a week ago, then this last Monday I said, so give me 3 exercises for my feet. So she did. And what I'm looking at, I was looking at it on my RLB call, or my whatever it was, a facilitator call. And when I realized, you know, years ago I had a fairly serious tendonitis in my wrists. I don't know if you remember, I had one of those cuffs on and stuff, and I still have some, and it's a sensitive thumbs and wrists. And I have exercises that I never do.
That you never do?
That I never do. I have a bunch of exercises I don't do, because it's not bad enough, you know?
And of course, I was just thinking, with all the stuff you do with your hands, gosh.
But you know, it's interesting. Most of the stuff I do in the garden doesn't affect it. It's other things that affect it. But what I was looking at with my RLD call was, am I willing to do this for my body now? You know, am I willing? Because I have been someone who, for the most part, has been able to just let things go and they heal themselves. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole sort of identity around being somebody who doesn't have to do these kinds of things. So it's
just,
so it's just really interesting to look at. And so far, this morning I was doing a couple of the exercises, and I thought, it's a really an invitation to be in a different kind of relationship with this body that I've been so able to take for granted most of the time. And so it just feels like, you know, I can go into the, oh God, you know, it's age-related and it's the falling apart thing and all that. I can go into that story, or I can just go into, well, what an interesting opportunity to just be different with this body and in this body than I've been before. And work on it and let it tell me what it means and then respond to it in ways.
Because God knows it's a good friend.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
And it's really time. The relationship has been so one way for so many years. So, and then we're asking you back, and I was like, wow.
10 minutes a day, I don't know. So it's good. But it's just so fascinating to watch how it doesn't arise so much as resistance. It arises as, well, I'll do it later. But now I'm having a really good time.
Right.
But to actually put it on the schedule, I haven't done that yet. But I'm talking about it because I know I need to do that.
Oh, yeah.
So if I keep putting it out there, it will happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And for me, the training is whenever it drops in, of course, that's when you do it.
Right.
You know, just because when you're reminded, you say, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Because then it's twofold, isn't it? There's the procrastination thing, ego speciality, and there's getting the exercises done. So every time life says, do your exercises.
Right.
Got time to do those exercises.
I had a funny experience this morning. We have this cat that will the only drink out of this one water spigot. So I was holding the water for him this morning, and I thought, it's really
I'm so well trained.
So I got sugar. I started doing the exercises. And I thought, why not?
Uh-huh.
I mean, here I am standing. You're only in a stupid space for this cat. And I'm doing the exercises.
Yeah.
You know, and conditioning would want to make it this big
right,
deal. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I've got to do exercises.
Yeah. In fact, you could train yourself probably every time you're in the car and you're waiting for a few minutes. You can do your exercises whenever you're down.
Yeah, probably not on the accelerator, but yeah.
Yeah. Or walking.
Any minute.
Anytime.
In fact, one of the things I found most helpful was walking with my toes spread apart. Mm. That helps more than anything else.
Ah. Well, I don't know about anybody else, but I was introduced to the idea that the shoes are the problem. Mm-hmm. They're most of the problem. And then the closer you can get to the ground, the better you are.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought this pair of sandals that have rocks. So the bed of the footbed is just smooth rocks.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like, what do you call that? Foot reflexology?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you walk.
Mm-hmm.
And they say start out with 20 seconds
mm-hmm.
because it's mm-hmm. so,
right.
But that's really the thing. And when you're barefoot, of course, you can walk with your toes out, you can mm-hmm. do all kinds of. Jen?
So all my pain is on the right side.
And your left hand.
Very interesting.
We might be on to something.
So I was very struck by, I can't remember exactly how you said it, but that the pain might be a letting go. And actually, through things that have been happening with the body, I've really been feeling so led to, I've come up against a defense system that has been in place certainly this entire lifetime. And it's such an exquisite experience to be feeling that let go. And there is a lot of, I don't know what word to use, because when you said that, the pain could be a letting go, I really resonate with that experience. But in the middle of it, I'm clear that the pain you could definitely call it pain, but there's such a an intimate experience to it that it just maybe more along the lines of grief or something. Not that it is grief, but that it's although kind of, because one of the pieces of it is like, forever I've talked about how, or it's been pointed out to me and I finally saw it, have sort of this relationship karma, where can we all kind of do it together, and you know, let's do this whole thing together. And a piece of it is...
You grew up with a brain punch, didn't you? Harvard family.
Yeah, I don't know what that's called. There's still some interesting pieces, although one thing that's helpful about that, really, is the more I see the karma, the more it's helpful to see, wow, other people don't have that karma, necessarily. And then occasionally I'll run across someone who does. But even in my own family, pretty much, I have it way more than anybody else. Mm-hmm. So anyway, a piece of it is realizing the image that came up when I was processing recently about it was, it was reflected to me. How was it said? No one can go down to those depths with you. Kind of that image of down to the bottom of the well or that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think some of the, there's been a lot more emotion than I generally experience, and some of that emotion feels like those two things, that realizing, no, we can't all do it together. And at the same time, the sort of paradox is, it's in that realization that the true intimacy is, mm-hmm. that the actual connection mm-hmm. becomes possible. Mm-hmm. So I often will be recording and there'll be emotion and it's like, it's not bad emotion. It's not, it's just that it's sort of almost like akin to the piece of the airplane coming off, just kind of that takes my breath away mm-hmm. kind of. Place.
Yeah, and that first, that karma mm-hmm. that is supposed to, that promises intimacy yeah. or meeting a need of closeness and connection, and is really there to prevent it.
Yes.
Yeah, and then when you see that other, that yeah. depth, mm-hmm. that what you're going into, that depth mm-hmm. is going into the connection with all that is.
Exactly. And one of the things that I realize is that defense that's there, and for me, at a really early age, it took on the form of rebelliousness. And so now, it can still, that can certainly still come up. But it takes on, basically, I guess like all karma and survival systems, it has a life of its own. Mm. So it defends when I don't want to be defended.
Well, it's defending itself, it's not defending
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the illusion that exactly. it has some interest in us.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just interesting that it's all coming up tonight, because one of the things I was looking at was, I mean, it's a coincidence, but I certainly didn't plan it, that all of this has been happening for quite a number of months now, and something that's been in the works for a very long time, in the middle of it, is I'm going to get to have a workshop next week where it's somewhat likely that the defenses will be there. Mm-hmm. And so just looking at, it's interesting because what I watch is that some of the karma is, I think, the relationship karma and the anticipated problem karma. So going into the situation, very possibly things will get triggered, and kind of a sense of like, maybe two of us could work it out together.
Maybe we could communicate.
Right. But so what I'm looking at is, I truly can't know until I'm there, because there are some times where, I mean, it's a different situation than I've ever been in, you know, this dynamic. So it could be so easy and so completely not a problem. That is one absolute possibility. Mm-hmm. Especially because we're staying in a place where there's lots of space, everyone can have their own space, you know, all of that. But I guess, I don't know, I don't know really what to, I've just been looking at that, you know, what's the place of anticipating a problem, kind of wanting someone, you know, wanting to like talk about it ahead of time, or not, you mm-hmm. know, or just kind of be there.
You mean with her, talk about it with her ahead of time?
Welcome on.
It'll be a workshop either way, but that would certainly not be my encouragement.
Uh-huh. Because it's more of that kind of, we can do this together kind of thing?
Well, because it's solving problems that don't exist.
Yeah.
And it's also kind of a variation on the theme of, then you'll feel a lot better. Mm-hmm. It does mean the other person is going to feel a lot better. Mm-hmm. So now we've just activated a whole mm-hmm. Pandora's box of projections on the other person's side that, you know, she may or may not be have any ability to handle, and can of worms, I think, is the
because what I just saw was it's kind of akin to the trying to strengthen everything else. So this thing, I don't know if it's an exact parallel, but kind of like wanting to create the situation so the defenses won't have to be triggered. Versus
just don't let them be triggered.
Just have the workshop.
Yeah.
Just have
if they're triggered, then you deal with it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And just one of the things I've really been practicing is, I mean, these crazy images come up that I've had forever in practice that I can remember, but just mindless stuff. When something's really going on. And I've been practicing just staying there. Just staying there. Not, like, I think the violent images is part of the defense. And
do you remember my favorite story of when I was living up in Oregon and I would go, it was country. and I would, I get on a motorcycle and I start building a house up there.
Okay.
I get on a motorcycle in the afternoon, and I would ride down to this little tiny wide spot in the road where there was a general store. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much it. And then these mountain folk came out and they congregated there. And there was one of those great big pot-bellied wood stoves in the back. Mm-hmm. And that's where all the old duffers hung out. Mm-hmm. Right? Well, I've always loved listening to old people tell stories. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you feel that way.
just watching how much I enjoy the listening to stories.
Yeah, and these guys, I mean, I was not that old at the time, and they were really old. Mm-hmm. So they're talking about a time that, you know, is history books for me. Mm-hmm. And so I go back there and sit with them and listen to them talk. And there's this one old guy. He was the best. And I just loved him. And he'd sit there and he'd rock. And he had a corncob pipe. And he would sit and he would rock and he would talk. And I'd be sitting there. Now, you know, I've never been accused of, well, anyway, violence is, I was no stranger to violence, okay? So I would be sitting there listening to it, and in my mind, I would see my fist close up, and it would go back, and I would just hit him right in his face, and he would fly backwards out of his rocking chair. Wow. Now, this was before practice, right? Mm-hmm. So it was disturbing, mm-hmm. to say the least. Mm-hmm. What do you do with something like that? Yeah. Until one day I realized that I loved him so much that I couldn't stand it. Mm-hmm. And that was my way of making sure that I got some distance. Wow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is so helpful, Sherry, because I have never that's what I was dancing around. I never had, so the images for me are to this person. Like things that I don't want to, you know, get managed anyway, but just things that are like, well, is that like a middle ages kind of a lifetime kind of thing? And I've never seen that. That it's like, don't go there.
A few days ago, when I was in group and I was talking about being, you know, love receptors being more open and solid, and that was what you just said was really powerful for me. One thing is, this week I don't know, I felt like I had an experience of love. This sounds very weird, but
it's okay.
I know it.
We can handle it.
Well, you know, it was for a particular form. It happens to be what I call my daughter, you know. And I heard she came to mind, and I felt this love. Like, I felt like that's what it feels like to love. And I don't think it was just like some kind of a new experience, you know, and it just like, I could just so relate to that, distancing, you know, and, even in that kind of relationship, I will not let you, you know, it all had to do with a lot of voices, you know, following a lot, listening to a lot of voices a whole lifetime instead of actually being in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And so,
oh wow, yes. So in relationship with those voices instead of her,
yeah.
But being convinced that the relationship you were in was with her.
Right, and being convinced all the time that that I had to distance myself, never the right person.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I was just bad at whatever I was doing, including that, you know? And so listening to that all the time. Wow.
Right, until that's your only reality.
Until that's the only reality. Mm-hmm. And so there was just this window of like, oh my God. Just seeing for an instance just the lie behind all of that, and like that it never was, there was never not love. Mm-hmm. Mm. There was only the story about there being not love.
Yeah.
And then I was, I'm going to be spending some time with her, and it's, you know, it's been an ongoing workshop on unconditional love. And today, just like, wow. It was like, you know, it's been show up at her door and then expect to step into unconditional love instead of being in the process of it now. Mm-hmm. You know, just now, Sequoia, just now with what I've seen is whenever I go away, there's like a lot of, it seems like stress rises, you know, like there's all these things, you know, standards to meet to get ready, you know, to do things. And then I just thought, oh my gosh, this is just like this big setup to a self-hating thing, you know, it's just like, I'm not going to meet these standards, I'm going to, you know, drop some ball, you know, it's just like, it's not worth it, And then I expect to go and have a visit and be relaxed and have fun and be an unconditional one. And it's just nuts. So how nutty that was.
Well, and the thing that what I was seeing when you were saying that is, so there's the love, which is a given. And then there's this layer that's put on top of it of not love. where you're required to live, and then all these standards are put on that, and the standards are there to imply that if you would be the right person, then you would have an experience that you've never had.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Rather than...
Yes. Just going back to the experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just been quite a long time of trying to, like, clean up that layer, which isn't cleanable.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
You know? And never, you know, I had a sense that the love was there, but I couldn't see, it still felt like I had to do something to fix myself to have access to it instead of to just drop into it and
that there never was anything wrong with you in the first place.
Yeah.
That's the hardest one.
It's the hardest one. Oh my gosh. You know. And then sometimes it feels like there's a lot of course it's because I'm in that place. There seems like to be a lot of reflection going on out there that there really is.
Of course.
You know, because that's what's going on internally.
Of course. So that's what we're going to see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And with that, it's so interesting with a relationship like that. What ego would have us believe is there are all these standards, and you have to do it perfectly, or the relationship is just not going to work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so twisting ourselves up into that knot is what makes the relationship not work. Not just going there and running who and how we are and loving.
Yes, I've been getting more clarity on that, the knot twisting, and that, you know, and that. Just getting more clarity on it. There's not an issue here. Mm-hmm. There never was an issue here. Mm-hmm. It's just not.
Well, not between the two people.
Between the two.
Certainly, there was an issue with ego.
Exactly. I mean, the whole issue was with something imaginary. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't with it. So, the other thing I just want to look at briefly is that the filing stuff. And not, I don't know how to talk about it without being, I have this other family member, my son, who I have no relationship with. And I feel like it's kind of filed. And it's like, well, I can deal with it, you know, we'll just, and then something will come up and it's, so painful. And then I wonder, I go to this pseudo Zen place. Well, you know, there's just all kinds of people to love. It doesn't have to be a particular. I don't even know if it's pseudo Zen. It doesn't have to be a particular person, you know. And I know that's true. And yet there's just something that just keeps stuffed with that.
Yeah.
Thing.
Well, and if we use that information in that way, then it really is who goes in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it comes up, I feel something, and then I'm told, well, that you could.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so that's after the fact.
Yeah.
But if you're in that place all the time,
mm-hmm.
where you're loving every human being as much as you can love, then it is a different relationship with particular people.
Yeah.
It just simply is.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you shouldn't feel whatever you feel, because and your practice is certainly at the point where you know the difference between feeling what you feel and having ego pile on.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think somehow it got... Yeah, the ego piled on with I should never have another feeling about it.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I just saw that I should never have a painful moment about it ever again. You know?
Right. that you should never have a suffering moment about it. I go up to that.
Yeah.
Because that's, again, that's that system, that ego system coming in and there's something wrong with this.
Right.
But
right.
No problem with pain, really.
Really. And the pain is really, that, and it doesn't even have, it isn't even, it feels like this could be for just anybody. It just happens that I can see it so acutely in this situation. Just what that ego or what conditioned mind can do to destroy a life. You know? Just take you out. Completely out. You know, where there's just no access anymore.
Yeah.
And it's really chilling.
It is chilling. I think it's very good word for it.
Yeah.
And again, that people, we seem to be kind of programmed in that direction, and then it's so encouraged that that system is who we are. That voice is us, those are my thoughts, those are my feelings, this is what's true, this is what I believe, this is what I know. And when we step back from it to realize it's all meant to destroy, it's there to destroy human life.
Yeah.
I'm not paranoid that time, but that doesn't mean it's not accurate.
Yeah, and there's just enough distance, I can see it so much easier, with this person than I can with this person sometimes. Mm-hmm. I can just see, like, oh my God, it's murder, it's just complete soul murder. It's the devil to just put a person out like that. So anyway, okay.
The thing that is so interesting about that, or I like, or however we want to say that, is that this relationship, this particular relationship with your daughter, has been so difficult and so challenging. And it's taking you exactly where you've been heading all of your life, right? To unconditional love. And that it's again that place that we were talking about earlier. If you had your neighborhood soothsayer who told you, oh, and one day, Sequoia, one day, you will experience profound unconditional love. I didn't even know what that means, right? And then, here it goes. If somebody had been charting you, and then that happened, and that happened, and that, you met that person, you went, you did that, and then.
It's so funny because I was recording about this, and I'm really, just what an amazing journey. And that there is just no way I could have gotten to where I've gotten without all of this.
Oh!
It's just everything just unfolding exactly the way that it has, and without practice. I would still be out there trying to fix it,
Well, maybe. Yeah. Or maybe we would have given up.
Yeah.
Long ere now.
Right. Right. Yeah. Anyway. Thank you.
When we were talking earlier about the body and how, something hurts sometimes, what it needs is to be, rather than strengthened or do something with it, is to acknowledge it and let it be.
And for me, added to that, let it lead.
Yes.
Right. And let it inform us about how to be with it.
Yeah, and it reminded me about, I have plenty of body workshops going on all the time recently. But it reminded me of another workshop I'm working on, with getting stuck in, just being in a place where I feel like I can't do what I need to do. I just feel like I can't do it. And,
Can't do it mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually.
Yeah.
All the way back. Yeah. I mean, is it, I can't do it, I don't have the skills, I can't do it, I don't have the willingness, I can't do it, I don't have the desire, I can't do it, I don't...
Yeah, I just get stuck. It's like there's
too hard, I don't understand.
Everything. I mean, it's just like, I don't really understand what's going on. It's just this very stuck place. Mentally I don't really understand it. And so I've made a process map of that stuck place, and sort of like the central person is the one who is in that stuck place. And so I've been giving that person or that energy the opportunity to get to do the two-handed exercises and to express what's going on, because I don't really understand it. It doesn't all come together, you know, mm-hmm. in something that I can say, oh wow, I understand what's going on, and I can, you mm-hmm. know, give support, this, that, and the other thing. But every time I would give the mic, you know, that energy would take the mic, I didn't get a sense that I was really getting what was going on for that person. I got a sense that somebody was stepping in and telling about what her experience is. Mm-hmm. That she was just so just locked down, or somebody else was taking over. Anyway, I couldn't really get into what the experience was, and I would do it over and over and over, and I keep having that experience where I just, it, you know, it just didn't feel like something authentic was speaking, that some energy was talking about the experience. You know, like ego conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is what's happening with her, and she gets this way and she gets that way, and you know. And so I just kept doing it, and then I put it aside for a while, and recently I'm having another go at it, and I was working with a facilitator buddy call, and working with the same process map, and all of a sudden something happened, and I dropped into another place, and there was something there that was actually experiential, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like something was authentic happening then. And what I got to was, before I thought she was just really scared and too young to do whatever she was expected to do or something. But what I felt was an experience of rage. That she's in this place stuck, and there's all this pressure to do something that she feels she doesn't have any idea how to do it.
Uh-huh.
And she doesn't think it's fair, and things come out like, you know, I don't even want to do this, why do I have to do it? And yet it feels like this is what she has to do in order to get herself out of the stuck place. but she's, the stuckness prevents her from doing whatever it is, and you know, a lot of it I think is just conditioning. I think there's, but I don't know what more to say about it.
Well, I don't know if this is throwing you a curve, and I don't want you to kind of just go in your head and speculate, but...
There's always that danger.
Well, I'm curious that, so somebody is talking about her.
Yeah, sort of like, you know, like they're trying to be her, but it doesn't feel like it's her experience, it's their...
Yes.
Reporting
on the one I'm curious about is the one who is talking about that experience.
You know, that's what I was just thinking as I was saying it too. Who is making the evaluations over on this side?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I thought, well, why didn't she just do it?
Well, exactly. That's what I came to before. I talked about this in a group a long time ago with the Sweeney, and she came to the same thing too. She said, well, that one that can't talk, you know, that she's not the one who can do it.
There's no wonder she's ticked off.
Yeah, there's somebody else.
It sounds like she's really young,
really,
and she's being asked to do some grown-up thing, and
yeah.
It really is unfair.
And I have felt that a number of times in my life when I'm in different positions where I'm expected to do something that I really don't have the training for, and I really don't feel like I can do it, and... So that I've had that experience kind of repeatedly, and as soon as that was introduced that somebody else could do it, I could feel that person in me.
Yeah, the one who has the recorder.
Yeah,
who's handing it.
yeah,
and listening and feeling what feels authentic and what doesn't.
Yeah.
She could probably do it.
And there are times when I have gotten excited going through this, when I get to that place where, you know, I've said somewhere on the thing that the exchange that I had with Sweeney, that you're not the one who can do it, but you can do it. Mm-hmm. And when I get to that place, I can feel that.
Uh-huh. And then when it comes to doing whatever it is, you identify back with the...
Yes.
That person disappears.
I guess, yeah. I mean, it is the oddest thing. And it is so frustrating, so humiliating to be this puddle of I can't do it place. You know, just be not participating, not contributing, not... You know? And yet, I don't know... It doesn't feel impossible intellectually, but then when that place comes into me or I go into that place, it's just stuck. Mm-hmm. Can't.
And so the person makes affirms that.
The person, which person are we talking about? The one who's holding the recorder?
Well, yeah. Affirms that that is who I am. I can't do it. So that goes into that identification and affirms that.
Must be, yeah.
Yeah, so rather than the person who has, my, you know, saying, well, now, that's silly. Of course I can do it.
Right.
So what are the steps?
Yeah.
There's a that juncture, there's an abdication, right? So
right.
That person just disappears. And
well, we actually had an idea of something. Once that was identified, that you're not the one, but I can. And I was in the role of that one while I was feeling that. Actually listed out some things, some ideas that came up to that person.
Mm-hmm.
And they were concrete ideas.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, yes. So, are you suspecting then that it's a matter of choice? So, it's either...
But it doesn't feel like that, because then there's slides right back into that person, and
Yes.
But
yes.
I need to choose
but
my slide.
I can't stop biting my fingers.
Yeah.
Right? Or there. I'm not biting my fingernails.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the. So it's the indulgence.
Yeah.
Right? It's the indulgence right at that moment.
At that juncture, yeah.
Yeah. And that's where the work is, right?
Uh-huh.
Not to indulge that
right.
at that point, but to say, I am going to stay here and I am going to take a step.
Yeah, and I think there's something going on in terms of so there's an awareness that this is all about this person's what the whole purpose of doing this is about is going beyond fear, resistance, and limitation. And there's a knowledge on an intellectual level, at least, that this is what we have to do in order to be able to do anything.
Yes.
And yeah. I think that's what is such a firm grip on not doing it. Because
right.
there's
right.
no
right. It's the whole identity.
It's the
right.
whole identity.
Yeah.
And I actually can taste how different life would be if this was not
when
going
you cross
on.
That line.
Yeah. Well, thank you for changing
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So somebody in a conversation recently referred to this as terminally unique.
Yes, I love that. Yeah. Yeah.
Terminally unique. And she was describing the exact same thing.
It,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Everybody else can. I can't. No, it's just too hard. Too
yeah.
special.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we all know that place,
yeah.
right? Boy, it's, you know, I'm going to lose the whole half of the damn plane.
Yeah. yeah.
Maybe the entire thing.
It's sitting on the seat.
Yeah.
yeah, yeah, for sure. For sure. And I can taste it. And sometimes it's exhilarating. And yet at the same time, there is such a grip on this.
Oh, who would I be?
Inadequate.
Oh, yeah. Who would I be? I mean, what would, yeah, it's exhilarating, but after the exhilaration, what then?
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
I mean,
I might have money. I might not have to be in deprivation. What the heck would that be
yeah.
like?
Yeah, yeah. And I might have to show up. I might have to really be a grown up.
Yeah.
And say, yes, actually I can. And
yes,
tomorrow.
oh, God.
We can all sympathize.
Did you have something else? Or kind of. Could we have a couple of
minutes? 2 minutes.
Okay. Oh.
Is it very fast?
It can be.
Okay.
So. Because I know you're going to go off on the retreat and they'll be off, and that story that you told about the image of hitting the guy, it just landed really strong with this image that I expressed this in group a few years ago about wanting to kick mushrooms.
Yes, I
remember that.
Oh.
And it was deeply disturbing.
Yes.
And I see that I think that's exactly it.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about their sweet, delicate, brave bursting out of the earth that just makes me want to kick them, you know? and it is that, and I'm so grateful to have something to lay down.
Anchor that to.
To anchor
yeah.
that to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Thank you, everybody.